No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this first official day of summer, June 20th. It's going to feel like it out there across most of the Lone Star State. Visibility good, top shelf for you pilots. You know, hard to know just how many younger Texans know the term dogfight. In the military, it's still used to describe a battle in the skies between fighter planes, usually at close range. But this time, well, the planes were supposed to be supporting the same mission. Wasn't technically a dogfight either, but here's what we're learning. A few days ago, in the skies over Syria, June 16th to be precise, Russian bombers began striking a garrison of U.S.-supported rebels. Well, American F-A-18s were scrambled, and they chased off the Russians. But when the U.S. jets needed to go refuel, the Russians returned and bombed again. Needless to say, the back channels of communication between Washington and Moscow are red hot at the moment. But let's put Russia aside for just a second. Before the days of aerial combat, a dogfight was a metaphor for any fierce dispute. It appears that among U.S. diplomats and policymakers, this latter kind of dogfight may have broken out over what to do about Syria. Jeremy Suri is chair for leadership in global affairs at UT Austin's LBJ School. Good to see you again.
Nice to be here.
Syria hasn't been on the front pages for a while, for obvious reasons, but it appears that behind the scenes, something rather unprecedented is going on between the White House and the State Department right now. What are you hearing about some internal memo?
Right. So there are a large number of experts and diplomats in the State Department, more than 50, who would like to see the United States do more to protect Syrian civilians and, most of all, to limit the power of the Syrian government, of Bashar Assad's government. And they would like to see the United States take military action. And they're quite frustrated that the White House is not doing that. And just a few days ago, they leaked a letter they had written through the so-called dissent channel within the State Department, calling for the United States to do more.
I have to ask about it. The dissent channel, is this something that's formally set up there?
It is. It's a fascinating story, David. At the end of the Vietnam War, many American diplomats were quite frustrated that policy was being made by the White House and the Secretary of State without consultation of the diplomats and experts within the State Department.
So these would be the career diplomats, the ones who are not political.
Exactly. Those who claim expertise, those who claim to be the experts on Southeast Asia or the Middle East.
Got it.
And so they institutionalized, at the behest of Congress, actually, a channel called the Dissent Channel, where they are allowed, any full-time diplomat is allowed to send a message to, in essence, the Secretary of State's office. And the Secretary of State has to respond within, I think, 8 weeks. It's supposed to be a message not about minor policy issues, but about major policy or major personnel issues. And so this letter was sent through this channel that was created in 1971. And so we see a legacy of the Vietnam War.
Well, has it ever actually been used? I mean, it's only useful if someone's listening on the other end, right?
It's been used quite often, actually. That's the interesting part of the story. So throughout the mid-1970s, it's used quite often. And also in the 1990s, during the war in Yugoslavia, there were many dissent memos sent in initially by members of the State Department who thought we should be involved earlier to protect Bosnians, and then later critical of when we were bombing Serbia. The channel was also used quite a lot during the Iraq War. There were many diplomats who were opposed to what we were doing in Iraq who sent, even when Colin Powell was Secretary of State, who sent dissenting memos. So this is an established procedure for experts to still get their viewpoints across to the Secretary of State. The philosophy is that the Secretary of State should make sure he's hearing what his experts say.
But this number, more than 50 diplomats or career foreign service officers speaking out about that, is that typical?
It's not typical, but it's not unprecedented. During the Iraq War, you had more than that, a larger number of American diplomats who opposed what we were doing in Iraq. What's unusual about this is that it was leaked to the press so soon. It's not unprecedented there either, but traditionally, the dissent channel, according to State Department procedures, is supposed to be something that's kept confidential.
So are they trying to bring political pressure to bear? This is what it sounds
like. I think that's absolutely right. I think the perception is not that John Kerry, Secretary of State, doesn't agree with the dissidents. It's that he agrees with them, but he doesn't have influence in the White House. So those in the State Department who wrote this memo, perhaps with his permission, it might have even been Kerry, are leaking it to the press to put pressure on Obama. The problem, David, is that the State Department generally believes, across the State Department, that we should be more involved in Syria. Mm-hmm. It's President Obama and his National Security Council staff that don't agree, and of course, they make the decision.
Okay, well, let's get back to those not quite skirmishing Russian and American jets in the skies over Syria just a few days ago. What is that incident? Among others, there have been some others.
Well, this is at the core of the conflict in Syria. We have a civil war, but we also have a geopolitical conflict between Russia and the West. I think that's
almost
the way
like
to look.
A proxy war.
Absolutely. And Russia sees Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, sees Bashar Assad, the leader of Syria, as one of his most important allies in the Middle East. He also has his only naval base in the Middle East, in Tartus, in Syria. And he does not want to see Assad go down at the hands of American-supported forces. And so this is an effort by Vladimir Putin to keep Assad in power. We are opposed to that because we believe Assad is responsible for genocide, but also we believe he's supporting instability and giving power through his actions to ISIS and other groups. Not that he's directly supporting ISIS, but that the instability Assad creates gives ISIS an opportunity to operate. So we are trying to eliminate Assad, and the Russians are trying to protect him.
Jeremy Suri, Chair for Leadership and Global Affairs at UT Austin's LBJ School. I wish we could talk more. Good to see you again.
Thank you for having me on.